All right, which one of the three not like topic starters that we had before coming into this did you want to go with? Bad modern 80s
movies?
Yeah, okay. So the problem isn't that they're remaking all these movies from the 80s. The problem is that they make bad movies.
Yes, they do. Because the movies... So like you said, in the 80s, they remade a bunch of movies from the 50s.
And they were better.
But they were like good movies still. Like because they knew how to pace movies.
John Carpenter's The Thing was great. Some people forgot it was a remake. It was so good.
Yeah, unfortunately, because the original is amazing.
I'm not arguing that. People should watch the original.
So there's another one that's... One of my favorite movies of all times is called Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream Home.
Okay.
It's Cary Grant, 1948.
Yeah.
And he and his wife are living in the city and decide, hey, we want to move out into the sticks. We want to move to Connecticut and get a big, big house, live in the country, and we'll commute to work.
Okay.
Does that sound like anything you've ever seen in the 80s?
Money Pit?
Exactly.
Is it really Money Pit?
Yeah.
Does the house fall apart and everything?
Yes.
Wow.
The whole time, it's like they're fucking doing all these renovations and shit's just falling apart on them.
I didn't know Money Pit was a remake.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Oh, man.
Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream Home is fucking... it's a funny ass
movie. You got a pen on you? Because I 100%... All right, just
I have it on...
Somebody...
I have it. I can put it in the Dropbox.
Okay. I was going to say, somebody email me next week when you hear this episode to remind me to watch that. Like, somebody just message me.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. I got a digital copy of it.
Great movie. Cool. Because I fucking love Money Pit.
It's a great movie.
Not everybody's into it for some reason. Some people don't like, you know, in the pantheon of Tom Hanks, that's not everybody's favorite, but it might be
really
mine.
It's really good.
It is so fucking
just
funny.
The fucking laugh he has
when
the tub drops through.
So good. He starts breaking down because he has stairs. I have stairs. There's stairs. Fuck.
Oh, fuck yeah.
What a good movie. What a good movie. Everybody should watch
Tom Hanks movies were great.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic.
Before you started, you know, taking that Regeneron or whatever that stuff is, that baby juice.
You know, you got to stay young forever. I get it. I'd eat live babies to stay young forever. What do I care about?
Would you really though?
What do I care about a fucking baby if it means another 10 years of soul crushing depression and suicidal thoughts, right, guys?
Right.
Sounds worth it to me.
I saw a pretty nasty accident on the way here.
Oh, yeah?
I was driving, you know, where 80 kind of curves around so you can get off on L and I and all those.
Yeah.
I'm coming around that bridge.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the I guess technically the outside lane. Whatever.
All right. You know.
Whatever.
The lane.
The exiting lane.
Right.
And there's a fucking cop car sitting around the bend. Just in the middle, so
yeah.
I had to, you know, kind of slam on my brakes and get over.
Sure.
I'm like, well, that
is not a safe place to park.
Maybe you could have backed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I had another car back here some. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, get further around, see more cop cars and more cop cars.
Oh, he was the further back one.
More fucking cop cars. Yeah, the farther she should have been further back.
Yeah.
That explains everything.
There you go.
There's about 15 cop cars.
Oh.
And then there was a car off the side of the road smashed into one of them big light power poles.
Yeah.
Its engine block was in the right lane.
Holy shit.
So, I don't know if that person lived or not.
Wow.
But I hope so, because fuck.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That was nasty. I didn't see any other vehicle.
I mean, it's pretty icy out there.
Well, who knows what happened.
Yeah.
Somebody could have cut him off.
Yeah.
Fuck, whatever.
Semi just fucking rammed them.
Something.
That sucks.
Yeah. So that was fun to see. Wasn't fun to see. There's an active shooter down at Sonic in Bellevue last night.
I heard
apparently.
I heard about that.
I just heard two people got shot. I don't know if they lived or died or what.
I read someone got shot in the head, so probably wasn't great, but I also didn't see if they lived or died.
Yeah.
But yeah. Somebody sent me a Twitter link.
Some guy in an army helmet.
Brilliant.
And he lit a truck full of fireworks on fire.
And then just started shooting people?
Yep.
Weird.
Yeah. Somebody wanted to nuts. And one of the comments I'm reading it, I'm like, yep, probably a white guy, of course. I'm like, well,
I mean,
yeah. Like situationally, sure. They're the ones who do stuff like that.
Yeah. But
they're not the only ones out there shooting people, morons.
Yeah, but they're the only ones out there shooting people in Bellevue.
I mean, that's because there's nobody else in Bellevue.
Yeah.
It's just white people down there, I'm pretty sure.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hi, Gus. Gus is just fucking running laps around my fucking house for some reason.
My dog does that every once in a while. He just fucking starts
yeah,
dipping around like it's weird.
What was our other starting topic?
What was it? Oh, your ring. Oh. Ring doorbell catching on fire?
I'm pretty sure, like, I was reading over it because I have that one, recall ring, but it's only if you...
Battery power?
No. It's not even that. There's little mounting screws you put into the bottom of it to hold it in there.
Do they go too long and bust through something? And
only if you don't use the ones they sent you. If as long as you use the screws they sent you, you're just fine.
Oh.
It's people using their own screws as mounting screws, puncturing the battery. That's what's been starting fires.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it's not a...
But also, maybe you should design it a little bit better so that, you know... That's not a possibility.
I mean, the thing's 90% battery. It's like a telephone. Put a screw into a telephone without hitting a battery.
I'm not mounting my telephone.
There you go.
So
I mean...
I'm not meant to mount my telephone. I'm just saying.
The design is fine. It specifically says only use these little tiny screws with it that come with it and are fucking weirdly shaped so you know not to use other screws. Like, they have a...
Yeah.
They're not shaped like any other screw you've ever seen.
Is it like a security Torx head or something?
Something like that. It's like...
A little pin in the center?
Yes.
Yep. That's just a security bit.
You're not supposed to use these any other screws.
That's a security bit, so somebody can't come up and steal it with the security bits you can just buy anywhere.
I mean, they come with every one of these rings.
I know. I have to just buy a ring and then you can go get like 30 of them.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, the point is... The fires are started by fucking idiots.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
So
it's like they did a recall on them though, so they must be they're probably going to change something with the design.
Maybe, yeah.
I would assume.
They didn't recall all of them because they're like, we'll send you an email if you're getting recalled, and I never got an email, so they must be able to detect that I'm not an idiot.
Well.
Their detection system's wrong. They must be able to detect that my dad came over and made sure I put it all together right.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's better. fuck. I still want to. I want a doorbell. I don't know.
I mean, those things are on sale for Black Friday right now for dirt fucking like.
Are there
those Ring doorbells?
So. I know they have all my information already.
Yeah.
I just don't want to give them one more thing.
I mean...
It's like I keep giving in to not Zuckerberg, but Bezos.
Yeah, just...
Hey, Bezos.
That one is a Bezos, so just give him the rest of it.
Yeah.
Ring is Amazon 100%. It's Bezos.
Nest is out there, too. I could get the Google one. Except for the Google one.
I trust Bezos more than you. I trust
both of them equally.
No.
Not at all.
I think Lex Luthor just wants to make my money. I don't think he wants to sell me out to the government nearly as much.
Are you sure about that?
Not as much as Zuckerberg.
Are you sure about that?
And Google.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure. Whatever.
I think Bezos is just a capitalist of the purest form, and I think I'm okay with that.
The purest form, he's just all money light.
Yeah.
That's what he emanates constantly. Is
right.
The light of money.
He's ascended to just money.
He's become one
with the greed.
Perfect.
Yeah. That was probably me, huh?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I'm sorry I'm so bad at podcasting still. Someday I'll get good. Someday I'll get good.
You won't.
I know.
Clearly.
So
I watched some TV over the last couple of weeks.
All right, good.
I watched a couple of movies.
Yeah?
That are critically acclaimed.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk about.
Good.
So two movies I watched
were
Fargo.
Yeah. Oh.
And Taxi Driver.
Oh, you know, I've never seen Taxi Driver.
Watch Falling Down. It's better.
I love Falling Down. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Watch Falling Down. It's a better version of it.
Perfect.
I don't understand why people think Taxi Driver is such a great movie. The music, first of all, the score is fucking horrific.
Really?
It's just a bunch of fucking shitty porn saxophone music.
Oh.
Like, that just doesn't fit half the time, except for the time where he goes to a porn theater, and I don't think they use it then.
Perfect. So they nail it.
So it's Robert De Niro, who he's a taxi driver in New York City.
Yeah.
And he gets all, he's like, he sees all the fucking scum and the villain and the trash in the city. And he's like, these people. And he
does this face where he's like, no,
he's not really doing that yet.
Hey.
Like I say, he's fucking like ripped in this movie.
I mean, he was a kid.
Yeah.
He was a pup.
But he goes and hits on this woman. And goes out on a date with her.
Like, yeah.
Gets her to go out on a date with him. And he takes her to a porno flick.
Oh.
And she's like, yeah, this is fucking weird. I'm leaving. He's like, well, I don't know movies, so I didn't know.
Is he?
Like, he's partly retarded, I think.
Okay.
I didn't know. So she dips out and doesn't talk to him anymore. And then he fucking loses his shit. A little bit like the Joker as well.
I mean, the Joker is 100% that movie.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
they weren't...
Well, the Joker's a better version of it.
The Joker is that movie and another De Niro movie called The Comedian, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Combined. It's basically like they watch those two movies and they're like, oh, if we just fucking sprinkle bits of these two movies together, we'll have a great Joker movie.
And at some point, he runs into a prostitute, jumps in his car, and gets ripped out by her pimp, and he doesn't do anything about it.
But yeah.
Then he sees her later on after he goes crazy, and like he's like, "Hey, I want time with her." And he gets her in a room, just talking to her and saying, "I can get you out of here. I'm gonna save you."
Okay.
And it's Jodie Foster.
Yeah, she's like 12.
Yeah, it's and. So he attempts to save her by keeping, like, he keeps on visiting her, and then he just decides to go and kill all the people that are around her. All
right.
He goes and murders a bunch of shitty people.
Yeah.
And
then pats himself on the back and says, job well done.
Yeah, pretty much. All and right. So does the city. I'm like, that's not how that works out, generally.
That's the end?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. That's the end.
He killed one pimp and he's like...
No, he killed like four guys that worked for him too. And a John.
In New York City.
Yep.
And he's like...
And everybody's like, oh, he's the hero. And it's...
This sounds awful.
It's not a good movie. I don't fucking understand why it's so highly acclaimed.
Huh.
Like... I don't know. I started watching a better Scorsese movie last night in The Departed.
Yeah.
So just watch The Departed if you're going to watch a Scorsese movie, I guess, is the lesson. I don't know. It's not good. I don't get it. Because that was a movie I remember Chuck was always talking about. Like, oh my God, this movie's so great.
Yeah, but Chuck has real weird taste in movies.
Well, he also liked Eraserhead. So
yeah,
Eraserhead's fucking stupid.
And this fucking movie called Antichrist...
I never even heard of that one.
It came out in the mid-2000s. It has Willem Dafoe and, for some reason, interstitials of hardcore pornography where they just have a stunt dick stand in for Willem Dafoe while he's banging.
Okay.
For really no reason. And then he's banging his wife and his kid jumps out a window. His, like, toddler falls out their apartment window.
And so it's Eric Clapton?
And then... So his wife goes crazy and starts torturing him. And then it's got like, you know, it's real like fucking Japanese-y horror where there's just a bunch of bizarre imagery of shit. And then the chick like puts a weight on his, like cuts it. She cuts her clit off with the scissors and
what
then
the fuck?
Hammers like fucking
what?
Spikes through his heels and attaches weights to them.
So it's like a not good version of Misery.
Yes. Yes. It's a really shitty version of Misery.
Ugh.
I don't understand why Chuck liked it so much. He made me watch it once. And I'm like, Chuck, this is garbage. This is a bad movie that's full of like that's just high on the smell of its own shit.
It's probably something Steve liked, I'm sure.
Maybe. Like, it's real fucking like it thinks it's real artsy, but it's just fucking Grindhouse. It's just modern Grindhouse garbage and it's bad.
Sure.
I didn't understand the appeal of it at all.
Yeah. Well, Taxi Driver sucks. Watch Falling Down. It's a much better version of Taxi Driver.
Watch Joker. It's a much better version of Taxi Driver.
Just fuck. I don't. It was like the ending was like, hey, everything's back to normal. He's doing his job again. Hey.
They just let him go back to work after a bunch of murders?
Yep.
Oh.
Like, I get it. Like, they're shitty people, but I don't think that's really how that works.
Unless you're a cop. And they're not shitty people. They're just black.
Okay, fair. It's not a good movie. Don't watch it. And also...
Wait, what happened with the other... What happened with the chick that didn't talk to him ever again?
Did she called him again. Hey, I saw you in the paper. I love you.
Really?
Yeah, basically. That's how that works, right?
So is this just...
That's how that works, right? Actually, no, she just showed up in his taxi cab one day.
Oh.
And was like, hey.
And then they played the Wedding Bells March?
Bow, chicka, bow, oh. Bow.
I would have done that. Wah, 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 wah. I don't remember the wedding music. Yeah, there you go. That's close enough.
All I can think is Pomp and Circumstance.
That's better. That's a better wedding song.
Yeah, sure.
Now tell me about the good movie you watched.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Coen Brothers movies are all fine. Like, I don't know that I've seen a bad Coen Brothers movie.
I don't think they make bad movies. I don't think they're capable.
I don't know that they are. All their movies are fucking great, and they're all like... See, that's like that Scorsese movie, there's nothing funny in it at all.
No.
Like, I guess The Departed's kind of funny. Maybe he evolved as a director.
Goodfellas has some chuckles in it.
Oh, those were Scorsese? Yeah, but only the first one was good.
Maybe there's only one. Second. It's only one Goodfellas movie.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking Godfather.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen any of the Godfather movies.
Is Godfather Scorsese?
No, I don't think so.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know who it was. It's Boring McBorington because I never watched them because the trailer bored me.
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching a trailer to The Godfather and decided I should never watch The Godfather.
Goodfellas is pretty good.
Goodfellas is great.
It's not a Bronx Tale, but it's good.
Fair.
Bronx Tale's fucking never fantastic. Seen it. Oh, my God.
Watch it sometime.
Watch that fucking movie.
All right.
It is probably De Niro's best.
All right.
And it's got...
better than Analyze This?
I would... God damn, that's a good movie.
Wow, I didn't expect that response.
Analyze This is pretty good.
Sorry, let me try that again. Better than... Fuck, what's the Adam Sandler movie? Oh, wait, no, that's not De Niro. That's fucking... I think that's somebody else. Never mind. I was thinking of Anger Jack Management. That's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. No, A Bronx Tale is fucking great.
All right.
Anyway, because I think that movie I really like him in because he's not the mob boss guy in it, which is not usually the case with him in mob movies.
Yeah.
So there's that. And it's a coming of age story with a kid and shit. So all right. It's pretty good. But yeah, Fargo. Frances McDormand, kind of a hottie.
Is she the cop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Like... She was only 30. She was like 39 when that movie was made.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about her.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I know she was fake pregnant in it, but whatever.
Maybe that's
not what did it for me.
Like, ooh, chicks with kids. That's my type.
I don't know. It's just something about it. something about it. That movie's great. William H. Macy's fucking excellent.
It's the movie I know him for.
Yeah, that's a movie most people know him
and
for.
And he's so fucking good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so good in that role.
Yeah.
Like, just the mousy little nervous piece of shit.
Yep.
Just fucking bad at lying and trying to lie his ass off the whole time and so blatantly terrible at it.
Yeah.
Such a good film.
It's fucking good. It's Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the other guy's name. He's in a lot of that.
Is it...
he's in a few of the Tarantino movies.
Is it the Russian guy? No, it's not Peter Stormare, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is Peter Stormare. Peter Stormare. Okay.
Yeah. He's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's the Russian guy from Armageddon and every other movie with a Russian.
Oh, gotcha.
He's like... You know how Gary Oldman was the villain in 90s movies?
Yes.
He was the Russian in 90s movies. Who was the villain, movies.
Gary Oldman?
Yeah. Peter Stormare was the Russian.
Fair.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know that there's a lot to say about it. It's hard for me to analyze good movies.
Yeah.
It's easier to.
Also, nobody should know anything about it before they watch it.
That's true.
It's a crime movie, by the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Check it out. The chick is like a real, she's a cop from Fargo trying to solve a missing persons or some shit.
Yep. Now missing person / murder.
And they all do great, you know, fucking North Dakota accents.
They really did. Well, how about that there?
Yeah, it's fantantastic.
Peter.
Have you watched the series at all?
No, I haven't.
I've heard it's really good. I want to check it out.
Seems weird, like a weird premise to have a series.
I don't know if any of the characters are supposed to be characters from the movie or what, but...
But I mean, if it's like following the same thing, like how much crime could actually happen there?
In Fargo, North Dakota? Yeah, right. Yeah. It's hard to say.
Well, also, it's like town, all that shit happens isn't even fucking Fargo. It's not even North Dakota. It's Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
Like the town, the very first, one of the first scenes, a couple gets murdered.
Yeah.
And, or a couple gets murdered. And, it's outside of Brainerd, Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah. That's,
all right.
I don't.
All right.
So, there's that. I also watched a television series.
Oh, yeah?
What television? There's a limited series on Netflix, which I know you don't have.
No, I don't. I'm never going to have it again because it's more expensive now.
Called The Queen's Gambit.
Okay.
And it's about this girl whose mom tries to kill them both. And like trying to drive off a bridge. The little girl doesn't die. Mom dies. So she gets put in an orphanage. This is the 1950s.
All right.
And, you know, naturally she's all fucked up from it.
Sure.
And she's in this orphanage and just kind of doesn't really fit in. Keeps going.
But she knows the sun will come out tomorrow.
No, it's
bet not. Your bottom
it's,
dollar.
It's not Annie. It's not
tomorrow.
Annie. It's not Annie.
There'll be sun.
Anyway, she meets up with the, she like meets the,
fucking hate Annie.
The janitor of the orphanage.
Yeah.
And he teaches her how to play chess. And she turns out to be a bit of a savant at chess.
Oh.
And decides after, you know, the guy's playing her and she starts kicking his ass pretty quickly. And, you know, he knows chess. He's pretty
right.
good at chess.
He's a janitor.
And, yeah, you know, it's like Matt Damon.
There's one thing I know about janitors is they're great at chess.
Yes. So he invites a high school like chess teacher or chess coach to come play her, and she kicks shit out of him, and he's like, I'm going to have you come and play my entire chess team all at once. So she goes and does that and beats
this sounds
the entire,
real fucking boring.
She beats the entire chess team. It's actually not.
Unless this fucking movie ends with the fucking One Night in Bangkok song, I'm bored as shit because it's just a little kid playing chess.
I mean, it's the backstory to it. It's like the first episode is all this shit.
Oh, this is a series.
Yeah.
So it's six just episodes. Six episodes of a little girl playing chess.
No. It's one episode of a little girl playing chess, five episodes of an adult woman playing chess, an adult hot woman playing chess. A redheaded adult woman playing chess.
All right.
She's pretty hot.
I'm not watching.
And banging a bunch of people and doing drugs.
All right, now I'm into that part. Why didn't you lead with that? Why'd you lead with the fucking chess?
Gotta that's about chess. She's a world-class chess player.
Is One Night in Bangkok played at any point in this?
It's not, because it ends before that song would have come out.
I played some video games. I played two video games I want to talk about. Yeah.
Anyway, good fucking show.
I believe you.
It's
sounds boring.
It's not.
Maybe it's just you who are boring.
Maybe it's you that's boring.
I mean, maybe it's you're boring because you're just sitting there talking about little kids playing chess. Two things that are awful. Children and chess.
Chess isn't awful. Chess is fun. I suck at it, but it's fun.
My buddy has this game. Speaking of chess. Fuck, I cannot remember what it's called. But it's basically like mirror chess. It's not exactly chess, but there's like a sphinx, which is shoots a laser. And there's a fucking pharaoh that's the king, and then there's little bits that are reflective, and you try to
like
bounce
the laser.
Yeah, you try to make
hit
the enemy pharaoh.
Hmm.
Yeah,
interesting.
It looks really fun. I haven't played it yet, but I want to.
Interesting.
Very strategic.
Oh, chess is terrible.
Yeah, but this has lasers.
Oh my god!
Imagine if chess had lasers. It would be fun then.
Whatever.
I played
God
two.
Damn it.
I played two video games. I played a fucking one of the best video games ever made.
Metal Gear Solid?
No. A new. These are new games.
Oh, okay.
And one of the worst video games
Legend
ever made.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild?
No. Newer. Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically a Metroid.
Metroidvania?
No.
That's what they call them.
It's just a Metroid.
Oh.
None of the Vania part, which is leveling up and all that shit. No, I mean, you find abilities, I guess, but that's all Metroid. It's a Metroid, but real platform-based, but beautiful. Looks like fucking, looks like a work of art. Looks like fucking watercolor or a cartoon or painterly. It's a gorgeous and very fucking hardcore platformer with some fun boss battles and whatnot.
Okay.
Played that over Extra Life. It is phenomenal. Oh my god, we made $1,575 in Extra Life this year for Extra Life.
Pretty good.
For the hospitals, for the kids.
Pretty good.
I was fucking blown away. I put it at 1,200 hoping I'd break 1,000, and we blew that shit out of the water.
Nice.
So thank you to everybody who donated and watched, and you guys are great.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I played for most of it.
Okay.
And the game is fucking gorgeous and fun. And if you play video games, you should play the Ori games. There's two of them and they're wonderful. I want to talk about the bad game I played, Colin. I played this game that EA released last year called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, you played a fucking EA game. That's your problem.
Some of them are good.
Are they?
Yeah, they got that one where you run on walls. Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge is one of the best games ever made. Mirror's Edge is fucking fantastic.
How old is that game?
I mean, it's pretty old.
Yeah,
it's pretty
exactly.
old, but it's still...
It's pretty old. It's back when EA was still actually trying to produce things.
Yeah. I'm sure they have some... Oh, they have one game that I play all the time that's great. That shooter game I play.
Plants vs. Zombies?
No.
Garden Warfare?
No.
That's actually an EA
there you
game.
Go.
It's pretty good.
That fucking... God damn it, that Battle Royale game, that Apex Legends. Apex Legends is an EA game, and it's great. It's the best one of those. But Star Wars, Jedi, Fallen Order.
Oh, that's just a bad name.
It's a bad name for a bad game that people pretended was not bad. People are like, this is Star Wars
so
done right.
Dark Souls?
It is Dark Souls.
Sounds terrible. But it's got lightsabers, right?
Here's what they did. They're like, hey, you know that game Dark Souls that all the kids love? Let's shoehorn Star Wars into that and then also somehow make it less playable.
You're just bad at games. That's why you suck at it.
I wish that was the excuse here.
You're just bad at games.
You push a button.
Button.
And there's anywhere from 1 to 6 minutes... between when you push the button and when the action happens on screen.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's not, obviously I'm being
right
a dick, but it's half a second. Like, I put video of it on Facebook of me pulling the trigger, and it's not consistent either. Because if it was like a consistent delay, at least then you could be like, all right, so a half second before he has to attack, I gotta push the button to block and parry. But it's not consistent. It's fucking random, the time between you pushing the button and his fucking animation starting.
Yeah.
In a game that's incredibly fucking parry-based.
I saw the video.
And
it's
timing.
Pretty bad.
So they'll come swing at you, and you have to block exactly when the sword's about to hit you, which means you have to guess when you're going to push the button.
I also don't like games like that. Like,
I don't mind that if it's crisp controls. I really like... like split second parry systems when the controls like
so like Street Fighter games?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Why don't they make a Star Wars game with the Street Fighter engine but of 3D world?
They call it Battle of Terras Cassie.
That was not a Street Fighter engine,
yeah.
No. That was like a fucking
3D open world fighting game.
Wasn't that like the Virtua Fighter engine,
yes.
Where you jump 20 feet in the air?
It was dog shit.
And you just floated like you're on the fucking moon. Ugh.
Okay.
Virtua Fighter. Look, I love Sega. Virtua Fighter was the worst thing to fighting games, like mainstream fighting games ever.
So maybe I could deal with the you know, immense lag time in the combat, because you can kind of get a handle on it and still beat things.
Yeah.
Except for then they'll just drop you into like a blind, like the camera is too close on you, and so you'll have two guys in front of you and two guys behind you. So you're trying to time your block with the guy in front of you, and then a guy you can't see attacks you from behind, and then you just ping pong between them because you get stun locked as soon as a guy hits you.
Yeah.
And you get ping ponged until you're dead. And once you get hit, you're basically fucked. There's not a lot you can do to get out of it, because recovery on animations is even longer. And the best part is there's these like abilities that you can get to stun people or knock them back or do things. But your recovery time from the animation to stun them is as long as their stun. So by the time you can swing your lightsaber, they're unstunned and attacking you again.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
sounds fun.
It's wonderful. And then the best part, once you die, you click respawn to, you know, reload.
Sure.
And you wait 3 minutes.
What?
Every fucking time.
Why?
Because the loading screen, it loads for 3 minutes.
Aren't these games all like installed to a hard drive?
Yep. Like 60 gigs of this game is installed to my hard drive, even when I'm playing it off you the disc.
Uninstall 60 gigs of this game.
Oh, I'm done with it.
Jesus.
It took, yeah, every time you die, it's like that's a 3 minute fucking, load.
That's worse than Blood Omen. PlayStation.
That's not the worst load. There are sections of the map. The map is terrible. It's this horrible fucking maze, and then the map it shows you is like this 3D thing, so you can't. It's murky as shit. You can never tell where you're actually at in a level. And it's like, the whole point is there's like five worlds you go to, and then you get abilities and go back to other worlds, kind of like a Metroid. Which, I love that part, except for then you get back there and you can't tell where the fuck you need to go in the world, because the map is so fucking garbage, and it's all just like a 3D spiral maze stacked on top of each other, and you don't know what connects to what in it. It's real junk. I can show you it after, and you'll be like, good. This is terrible. It sounds
fucking stupid.
But then there's elevators in it. So you like get in a tram elevator, and you wait in this tram elevator, and this tram elevator takes like 2 minutes. And there's a bunch of these I found now where you, and then, so you think it's masking load times. All right. You know, this is the Mass Effect thing where you get in the little elevator. You get elevator
to the bottom and it loads.
You get to the bottom and it fucking loads. So you watch this whole fucking 2 minute elevator sequence, and then it still fucking loads for another minute.
Terrible. Like, World of Warcraft never took that long to load anything.
Dude, GTA doesn't take that long to load its initial load, where it fucking loads in the entire streaming world for 2 minutes.
Right.
And then one last fucking fun, like, you get a ship, because it's Star Wars, so you're on your little fucking Ebon Hawk, or whatever they call it in this. Ebon Hawk was the ship from KOTOR, which is, play KOTOR instead of this, it's great! They should just make another KOTOR with that exact same D20 system. Knights of the Old Republic is a fantastic game that everybody should play if you play video games. So you get in your ship, and there's a little fucking console in the middle with the planets you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, I'm on fucking Kashyyyk with the Wookiees. Even though it looks just like every other fucking planet in this game. It's all just Imperial bases. You're just inside Imperial bases, so I don't know why there's a bunch of different planets. And then I go to this other planet, and you're like, you click, and it's like, all right, kid, we're on our way. And then it starts a fucking, like, you know, it goes into the warp speed, the light speed, hyperspace, Star Wars thing. And you got two characters in the ship who sit there and have, like, you know, a couple minutes of banter while you're warping to the planet. And then when they're done bantering, it's just, you're just sitting in the ship watching the warp speed in the windshield for, like, another couple minutes. And then he's like, all right, kid, we're ready to land. Hop in your seat. And you got to walk all the way up to the cockpit and get in your seat to land on the planet. And then it launches the actual animation of your ship arriving and landing on the planet. So every time, you got to select warp, listen to a bunch of dialogue, stand around, wait for him to tell you to get in your seat, then walk up, click on the seat to sit down, and then you can land on the planet. Every time you want to go to a different planet.
Sounds really good.
This game is dog shit, and I don't understand why anybody liked it. It's a fucking bad game that's bad for bad people who like bad fucking games. It's, I'm done with it. Like, I fucking did, like, the little, like, short little fucking training world. And I went through the whole first... The crux of the game is you're looking for three tombs of this ancient progenitor race that's no longer alive for MacGuffin. Who cares? It's Star Wars. You're looking for the MacGuffin. There's three of them on this planet. So you find the first one, and then after that, you get a clue that says you got to go to Kashyyyk. And you go to Kashyyyk, and at the end of Kashyyyk, it's like, all right, here's where the second one is now. Now you know where the second one is on that planet. So you got to go back to that planet. So you go back to that planet, and that's when I quit. I'm like, all right, I'm done. This fucking game is dog shit. So don't play Jedi Star Wars.
You know, you could have taken 2 minutes instead of 10.
Yeah, no, I had to get that out. I had to get all that out. That needed to come out of my fucking mouth, man, because this game is annoying me so much.
Oh, wait, I watched one other thing.
Was it about chess?
Nope. It was called Easy A.
Oh, I love that movie.
With Emma Stone.
That movie's great.
It's fucking fantastic. That movie's funny as shit.
Movie's a love letter to John, to, what the fuck is his name? The guy who made all the fucking Brad Pack
like
movies.
The Pretty in Pink and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, it's a
John Hughes.
Yeah, it's a love letter to John Hughes movies. Like, it's full of references to John Hughes movies.
Yeah, it is.
And it is wonderful.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's a high school coming of age teen romance.
Yes.
With Emma Stone.
Who's pretty cute.
Yeah. She's pretending to bang people to get them social clout, I think, is the setup, if I remember.
Yes. And like in turn taking like gift cards to Home Depot and shit. It's pretty good. Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're doing this.
Yeah. So this week for our 250, oh, it's happy 250, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that.
I don't even know if I said the Welcome to the Loud Neighbors.
You didn't.
Welcome to the Loud Neighbors podcast, episode 250. My name is Trevor. I'm here with Colin. That was the cold open for Star Trek.
Yes.
You know, they always do like 5 minutes of episode and then they play the credits. That was that for a half an hour, for 40 minutes. This is going to be a long episode. Yeah.
Wow.
You talked about chess for a half an hour, bro.
You talked about this stupid Star Wars game for
at least that was a fun
minutes.
Rant, not just me going, I like watching little kids play chess.
Yeah, this but is... it was enjoyable. Nothing about what you said was enjoyable.
That's what makes
even
it
to
funny.
You, it wasn't funny.
It's way more entertaining than just a, I enjoy watching children play chess.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about... So the idea was for us to list our 10 favorite Star Trek The Next Generation episodes.
Yes.
But I just wrote down 16 episodes I want to talk about.
I wrote down 10, and they are pretty well in chronological order.
Okay. Mine are also mostly in chronological order, but there's two. Do you have anything from season one before we even get started?
No.
There are two from season one I want to bring up, even though they're not the best, just because we got to at least acknowledge season one existed.
Yeah.
So my first one I wrote down was Justice, where Wes stands on the grass and is going to get executed for being on the grass.
Yeah.
Only because most of that episode is just chicks and like almost nothing. It's like this, it's kind of like a Risa society where they're all just fucking each other all the time. And so it's just dudes and chicks in like Daisy Duke robes and their tits are hanging out. And it's, for 1986 or 87, I'm like, God damn, I could jerk off to this.
Okay.
And then Data Lore, because it's Lore shows up and he has his twitchy mouth.
Yes.
Everybody should watch Data Lore, just so they understand the lore.
Yes.
Lore is Data's twin brother.
You got to learn the lore of lore.
Yeah. Star Trek The Next Generation is a science fiction show from the 80s and 90s, based on Gene Roddenberry's original Star Trek, except 100 years in the future after it. I hope everybody here has seen Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, I'm sure some people.
And I don't have to explain who all these characters are. Data's a robot, and Lore is his evil twin.
He's not a robot. He's an android. There's a difference.
Is there?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Android is like a close to life, a human life form.
All right.
My first episode, Q-Who.
Oh, I got two before that.
Oh, yeah.
One that I like, one that I also just wanted to mention because Elementary Dear Data is great.
Yeah.
Elementary Dear Data is Data playing Sherlock Holmes.
And he is tired of, like, the computer's too easy for him to beat.
Yeah.
So he programs the holodeck program to give him a more worthy adversary.
Yeah.
And the holodeck, the computer creates Moriarty. Which, I mean, is a Sherlock Holmes character.
Right.
But becomes sentient somehow.
Yeah.
And like understands that he's a holodeck character and wants to leave the holodeck.
Yeah. That's great. There's a follow-up episode in season 6 about him. But my first one that's actually on my list of 10 favorites is A Matter of Honor, where Will Riker gets traded to a Klingon ship.
Yeah, I almost put that one. That's a good one.
There's a officer exchange program between a bunch of different
fleets. That's when we meet Kern, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Is Kern the commander of that ship?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched it. Yeah. But I just fucking love it. Riker trying to fit in with the Klingons and the fucking...
Basically Riker going to fucking prison.
Yeah.
He just like has to beat the shit out of the first guy he fucks with him.
Yeah, it's so good. And then the chicks are like staring at him. He's like, what do they want? He's like, they're trying to decide if you were to survive. Survive what? Them. And Riker's like, one or both? Because he's a suave motherfucker.
Yeah, Riker's got some good lines.
Yeah, that's a great episode. Also, the Klingon Bird of Prey is my favorite spaceship in all of sci-fi.
It's pretty great.
And that whole episode takes place on one
Klingon Bird of Prey.
So it's just made for me. That episode is just like, oh man, I want a whole series of just Klingons doing Klingon shit.
I don't know why that never happened.
Well, I don't want it to happen now because it'd be these fucked up CBS Klingons with six noses and fucking ridges all over the fucking and spikes and like they look like fucking orcs.
Yeah. They're stupid.
All right.
Q-Who
yes.
is my number one episode. So I got a little synopsis here.
Yeah.
Q, who is a omnipotent being that they meet in the very first episode, Encounter at Farpoint, who puts humanity on trial for the, you know, its sins.
Yeah.
You know, he puts the crew on trial for humanity's sins, I should say.
Yeah.
Q is played by John DeLancey.
He's just a treasure.
He's fucking perfect.
Yeah. Like,
it's one of those things if they were ever to recast, like if they ever thought they were going to, because I hear fucking murmurings like, oh, they're going to redo the Next Generation. I'm like, you can't.
I mean.
You just fucking can't.
You couldn't do the original either, but they did their best. They were fine. You shouldn't have done the originals, but
that's true.
I'll watch Star Trek Beyond every now and then.
So Q comes back. And forces them into a first contact situation with the Borg.
Yeah.
He sends the ship 7,000 light years away to the Delta Quadrant or the Gamma Quadrant. I don't remember which one. And
Delta Quadrant. Gamma Quadrant's in DS9.
Oh, that's right.
Delta Quadrant is where the Borg are from.
Okay, that's right.
Delta Quadrant is Voyager.
Yes.
Gamma Quadrant is DS9.
Yep, you're right.
I know I'm right.
Shut up. Oh my God. You're annoying.
It's Star Trek.
You're annoying.
I would recognize the silhouettes of the various Enterprises anywhere.
The little scratches on there.
That looked exactly like them.
Yeah.
They were even the right letters, like the right silhouettes for the letters the guy was saying. It was perfect.
Anyway, so they get thrust into an encounter with the Borg, which the Borg, they don't diplomacy.
Yeah.
They just assimilate or destroy.
Yeah.
One or the other.
They're like a robot. They're fucking cyborg people. They take you and turn you into a robot man, a cyborg man.
Yeah, basically, they take civilization's technical and physical uniqueness and put it, just bring it into their collective. Just
Voltron it onto themselves.
Yeah.
They're basically like a giant ant hive.
Yes. They lose some crew members from this.
Yeah.
And Picard is forced to beg Q to get them out of there.
Yeah.
Because that ship's about to get fucking destroyed by this big Borg cube.
Yeah.
The Borg cubes are fucking massive, by the way. Like, the Enterprise is huge.
Yeah.
The Borg cubes are fucking huge.
Yeah.
Not huge on the scale of some of the stupid Star Wars ships that just make no physical sense.
What, you mean like Super Star Destroyers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not even,
I don't know how big a Super Star Destroyer is, but it's insane. There's like
thousands of kilometers or some, it's, or not. Well,
there's a whole city on top of it.
Yeah, they're fucking dumb. They make no sense. But I have a quote. So after this happens, Picard confronts Q and says, "You could have taught us this lesson without the loss of crew life." And Q says, "If you can't take a little bloody nose, maybe you ought to go back home and crawl under your bed. It's not safe out here. It's wondrous, with treasures to satiate desires both subtle and gross, but it's not for the timid.
That is a wonderful quote.
Fucking love it.
John DeLancey is full of wonderful quotes.
Yes, he is.
That's a good episode.
It is a really good fucking episode. I got like 3 Q episodes on here.
I've got a Q episodes I can follow that up that you probably have on yours because it's my favorite Q episode.
I guarantee I have it.
Probably the best Q episode, yes. Where Deja Q.
Yes.
Where Q loses his powers. So Q gets banished from the Q continuum and loses his omnipotence.
Because Q has this thing where he likes to fuck with civilization, yeah, species.
He's kind of a trickster. He's kind of a fucking imp.
Yeah, whereas Q continuum isn't like...
Yeah, they're mostly a non-interference, it seems.
Q, on the other hand, likes to fuck with everybody.
Yeah. So he gets dumped naked onto the bridge of the Enterprise. And he's trying to convince everybody that he's human. And he's like, what can I do to convince you people? And Worf goes, die. And Q says my favorite line in the whole series, oh, very clever, Mr. Worf. Eat any good books lately?
So, I was... last night when I was writing, I was putting this stuff down, I was like, oh, I need that exact quote.
Yeah.
And I liked right before that, because Picard says... Yeah, Picard has a line, and Q says, Q the miserable, Q the desperate.
Q the liar.
Yeah. Anyway, I go to look...
Q the misanthrope.
I go to look that up, and I ended up buying a t-shirt that just had a picture of Worf from that season. It said, eat any good books lately. So, yeah.
Goddamn. Eat any good books lately is my favorite line in the whole series. It's fucking
fantastic.
It's like such a sick burn.
It is. So that episode, he ends up getting paired with Data.
Yeah. Because
Data's the only person who can handle, like, Data not having emotions, the only person that's, like, capable of dealing with Q.
Yeah.
And it ends up being Q kind of learning about humanity from Data, the person who doesn't have any humanity.
It's a really great episode. It's a really good message. Yeah. Also, the Q that shows up to help him out and like let him back into the Q-tinium at the end.
It's Sean Spencer's dad.
It's Corbin Bernstein, yeah. Fucking Sean Spencer's dad. I fucking love that dude.
Yep.
Such a good actor.
My next episode is Yesterday's Enterprise.
Oh, I did not write that one down.
Fuck, I love that one.
Because I figured you would.
So the Enterprise C enters a time anomaly and ends up in the D timeline.
Yeah.
Except it's an alternate timeline where Lieutenant Yar didn't get killed by the entity.
Yeah.
The tar monster.
And the Federation is still at war with the Klingons and seemingly losing.
Guinan can sense that there's something fucking off. They're not supposed to be at war, and more Guinan importantly...
Guinan is a bartender with she's hundreds and hundreds of years old. They never really explain all her race's powers. They do in the Borg episode, that first Borg episode, the Q are scared of them.
Yes.
So clearly Guinan's race has some kind of powers, at least to stop the Q.
Yeah.
Because she throws up some like little claws with her hands, and the Q is like, ooh, I'm scared.
So Guinan knows that there's something not right. Guinan is, has like a deeper level of intuition about things.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Cause it's like, that was a really good character.
Yeah. She's a listener. They listen.
They listen. Well, anyway, there's a fight with the Klingons. The Enterprise C is in the battle with the D, but it gets damaged because it's old as fuck.
Yep.
And they lose most of their commanding crew. And Lieutenant Yar decides to say, hey, I don't fucking belong here. I feel like I don't belong here. I want to join their crew because they need me.
Yeah.
Like, basically, these people are going to fucking die if they don't have a tactical officer.
I mean, those people are going to die anyway, but they're going to die without making a difference if she doesn't go with them.
Right.
Is the gist of it.
Well, but they didn't. No, I mean, she didn't.
Well, she specifically didn't die.
She got captured by the Romulans.
Yeah.
And then banged some Romulan and had a kid who became a staple in a later episode or a couple, two.
Yeah.
But... there's one moment in that show, it's the very opening scene before the credit roll, Worf sits down. It's Worf is sitting in 10 forward, and Guinan comes and sits down next to him and asks him why he's always by himself.
Yeah.
And she hands him a glass of a drink.
Oh, is this where
he tries it? And he's like, what is it? And Guinan tells him it's prune juice, and he takes a sip, and he's like, a warrior's drink.
I forgot that's the episode that prune juice came from.
Yep.
A warrior's drink.
That's funny. I always forget which episode the prune juice thing started, but that's like a running thing throughout the rest of that and DS9.
Yep. Because all the shit that fucking Klingons eat, and then he likes prune juice.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It tastes like shit.
Yeah. It's, I think we both have this one because I saw it on yours.
I mean, I wrote it down, but it's not one of my 10 favorites, but I wrote it down in case you didn't, but go ahead.
Remember me?
Oh, shit. So we're going to skip Best of Both Worlds just entirely?
No, I...
Because that would have been next, because Remember Me Season 4.
I put that as a honorable mention.
Me too.
It's a great episode.
It needs to be talked about as episodes go, but it's also not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really include any of the season finale...
Yeah. Oh, that's the only one I did.
Beginnings.
It has so much implications for the rest. So Best of Both Worlds.
Time Zero is also a really good fucking episode.
Yes, I enjoy it too.
But I think that...
But Time Zero has no lasting impact, whereas Best of Both Worlds... So Best of Both Worlds, the Borg finally arrive at Sector 001, which is Earth.
Yep.
And the Federation goes to war with the Borg.
And that's when the Battle Wolf 359 happens.
Yeah, Captain Picard gets assimilated by the Borg and becomes Locutus of Borg.
I got a quote from that one.
Yeah, go.
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile. Your life as it has been is over. From this time forward, you will service us.
Yeah.
It's a good episode. I really like
two-parter. It's great.
I like the dynamic between Riker and the fucking chick from Starfleet Tactical.
Yeah.
Who's trying to basically take his job.
Yeah.
It's good. So Riker was offered a position on another ship and he turns it down.
Yeah.
But nobody knows about that yet.
Yeah.
Well, one of that ship was destroyed in Wolf 359.
Yeah.
So, you know, good luck. Good thing there, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Thank God Riker doesn't have to leave. Could you imagine how much more interesting it... Like, I'm glad they didn't kill off Picard because he's fucking great throughout the rest of the show. But could you imagine what a fucking ballsy move it would have been to just have him die in that episode and Riker become the captain of the ship?
Yeah. I think people would have been really pissed, though, because...
Yeah, but... Man, that would have been something.
I think...
It's not... I'm glad they didn't do it because we got some great Picard
I want to see those movies. But Nemesis would never exist. Because it's, you know, the worst of the next-gen movies.
Yeah, I still like it, though.
Hey, but it's still the worst of them.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, right.
It's, look.
Also,
the problem is...
What really annoys me about that... Okay, so I have a little complaint about the movie Star Trek Nemesis.
All right.
There's a scene where they're showing a picture of Picard... When he was in Starfleet
and he's bald?
Academy. And he's fucking bald.
Yeah, we'll reference that later on in an episode I also have written down, and you probably do too, because it's probably the
best. Not just that episode.
Yeah.
There's other episodes where they show pictures of him with fucking hair.
I know.
Ugh. Ugh. With a side of ugh. Okay, so Remember Me.
Remember Me is one of the first episodes that I have on my horror episodes list.
Yeah.
There are a series of episodes in Star Trek The Next Generation that are horror themed, that are my favorite episodes, because when Star Trek is scary, Star Trek is best.
Okay.
And Remember Me is one of them. Do you want to take this one? Since you have notes, I don't need notes because I love the episode.
So Crusher, Dr. Crusher, Beverly Crusher, she gets trapped in an alternate reality warp bubble when her son, Wesley Crusher, fucks up an experiment because he's an idiot.
Well,
no, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot, but also the thing about Wesley Crusher that's only sort of established is he's also he has superpowers.
You mean the superpower of becoming Native American? Because that's a superpower. He's an idiot.
Are you saying Native Americans are idiots? Are you calling my people idiots? you no, motherfucker.
No, what I'm,
I will come over this table with a tomahawk right to your dome, you piece of shit.
What I'm saying is the way they wrote him off that fucking series was probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah.
That episode was fucking garbage.
His superpowers are established earlier in fucking season one episode with the Traveler.
Does he have the superpowers of bumbling? I don't...
He can manipulate warp fields with his mind.
Oh.
Yeah. Wesley Crusher can fucking manipulate warp fields and time. He can stop time with his mind. He can also manipulate warp fields with his mind, which is how he caused this fucking problem, because he was doing experiments and using his mutant powers. But it's also how they remember when the Traveler shot him to the center of the galaxy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Wesley had to get him back because he can do the same things the Traveler can do. Like the whole Traveler's whole, there's an episode in the first one where they're like upgrading their warp engines. The charlatan comes on board, but the charlatan has a sidekick who is this alien who can manipulate warp fields with thought.
Yeah.
And he's out finding other people with his ability. Like that's his whole purpose. And Wesley Crusher is one of them.
Hmm.
Which is why he stopped time and just walked off in that episode with the Maquis.
Yeah. Okay.
In Chipotle. Chipotle's tribe.
Yeah. Fucking terrible.
Because Wesley Crusher can manipulate warp fields with his mind.
Such a weird character development.
But yeah, so you don't know Beverly's trapped in a warp field for most of this episode. You think she's just like...
She's just having like memory lapses where like things you saw earlier in the episode she'll reference to, and other people in the crew are just like, fucking yeah. talking about.
And then people will start disappearing.
Yeah.
And like, well, that person never existed.
She's like, you know, the big guy that never smiles, the Klingon.
Yeah. yeah. Like
who?
The cast stars. And by the end of the episode, it's just her and Picard on the bridge, and she's losing her mind, and then Picard disappears.
Her fucking, her trying to solve it with the computer is pretty great.
Yeah.
Insufficient data.
Yeah.
You know, she's asking, what's our mission? Computer tells her to, you know, seek out new galaxies, all that noise.
Yeah.
And she's like, and am I capable of completing this mission on my own? No.
Yeah.
Then how, what's going on here?
Yeah. It's one of the first and few times where Crusher is not bad at anything.
She's so hot though.
Yeah. But she's usually just useless on the show.
She's not useless.
Yeah. She's just usually like,
and she's just a doctor.
Yeah. But she's usually not even good at that. Like most episodes are like, I sprained my ankle. Like, oh fuck. Computer.
Spray.
I don't know what to do in this situation.
Hmm.
But that Remember Me is good stuff.
That is a pretty good episode. Next one I have is Clues.
I don't know what order they're in, but what season is that?
Fuck. I don't remember. I think it's four or five.
Well, you can do your next one, and then I'll do my next one, because my next one is also a horror one.
So, the Enterprise passes through a wormhole, and the crew is unconscious for 30 seconds, according to data.
Yeah.
However, multiple people on board discover irregularities that seem like much longer than 30 seconds had passed.
Yeah.
So, the crew, Captain Picard, and they decide, well, we're going to backtrack, because something's fucking not right here.
Yeah.
And they go back and discover that they had actually encountered an alien species who are xenophobes.
Yeah.
And will destroy anybody passing through their space.
Yeah.
And Data's basically lying to them.
Yeah.
But he's doing it under orders.
Yeah.
And Picard keeps asking, well, whose orders? And he's like, yours, sir.
Yeah.
So it turns out that they encountered this race. The race threatened to, you know, destroy them. And they made a deal like, hey, he's an android. I can order him to never speak about this.
Right.
And our memories can be erased.
Yeah.
And they go back and encounter, and their alien species is fucking pissed off. And they're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
You guys told us you were never coming back here. And they somehow, Picard being the diplomat he is, somehow convinces them
to do it again,
that they did it wrong, they left too many clues behind, and they need to do it again. And they agree to it and let them go, and that's
it. And they do it right this time.
And I need to see if I have any, I don't know if I have any quotes from that one. I do not have any quotes from that one.
My next episode is called Night Terrors, and it's one of my favorites, even though it's a kind of a bad episode.
It's a bad episode.
It's a bad episode, but like, so everybody starts hallucinating, and they don't know why, and it turns out they're not getting enough REM sleep. They're in some kind of fucking section of space that's fucking with their sleep patterns, and they're all starting to go crazy. And I just love it because it's, like, scary. Like, there's a scene where fucking Picard's just sitting at his desk, and it's like, and he's like, come. And then, like, nobody comes in, and they're like, come. And nobody comes in, and he gets up, and there's nobody at the door. Then he's, like, on an elevator, and, like, he thinks he's going to, like, crash into the roof of the elevator. It's going real fast, and everybody's seeing crazy shit and scary shit. Crusher starts seeing dead bodies sit up, you know. It's terrifying. But then, like, also the whole time, there's, like, this fucking Troy is the only one dreaming. And she's dreaming about, like, a thing that's, like, this light in the sky, and it's, like, one light circling or some shit. And then she's just like, where are you?
Oh, my God.
As she flies through space, and the where are you part is dumb as shit, because, man, it took Marina Sirtis a while to learn how to act.
It did.
Yeah. But that episode is scary, and I love scary Star Trek episodes, so I really like Night Terrors.
Make notes to a couple episodes I didn't put down.
All right.
It's my next episode, The Nth Degree.
Yeah. I didn't write this one down because I knew you would.
This is my favorite episode of Star Trek. Yeah. It's like, there's two episodes of this series that I think are best. It's this and the episode Parallels.
Okay.
The Nth Degree, Barclay and LaForge are assigned to go on a shuttlecraft and do... you know, trying to investigate this unknown probe they find.
Yeah.
And they're getting close to it, and all of a sudden it sends out, like, this energy wave or something at them.
Probes sure like to send out energy waves in this series.
Nothing happens to LaForge.
Yeah.
But Barclay gets all fucked up by it.
Yeah.
And they come back to, you know, he recovers. He come back to the ship, and gradually, and then... very rapidly, he starts becoming smarter and more confident.
Like
the thing about Reginald
genius.
Barclay is he is a very
he's autistic,
timid. Yeah. He's not. He doesn't people.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He's like us, basically.
I mean, he's way worse. He's like
is he?
It's like Kenny.
Okay. So he becomes hyper intelligent and equally as confident, and he hits on Troy. He makes a pass at her. A good one,
yeah,
as she says.
Yeah.
And Mr. Commander Riker kind of goes, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah,
Commander Riker gets a little jealous when people hit on Troy. It's kind of funny.
The first time Barclay showed up, he was like the bumbling new guy in engineering who like...
that fucking episode's good too. I almost put that one down.
Just because fucking Picard calls him Broccoli to his face. Mr.
Calls
Broccoli.
Calls him Broccoli, but the fucking holodeck program he has going on. And he's got Rikers all shortening.
Yeah. So Barclay's like real socially fucking timid and kind of bumbling and comes across as like kind of fucking pathetic. But then like he lives all of his life in holodeck programs where he's like can be comfortable and in charge.
It's basically like, you know, autistic people, you know, autisms with video games.
Yes, exactly. And you know, the whole episode is about teaching him why it's inappropriate to have a bunch of sex slave versions of the crew on a holodeck.
Right. Throughout the rest of this episode, he integrates himself with the ship's computer.
Yeah.
Because some shit's going on. They're trying to wasn't the probe like following them?
Something.
Yeah.
It's your favorite episode. You should know this.
I know. But anyway, the ship starts flying at very high speeds.
Yeah.
And goes to many thousands of light years away, and he's one with the computer, and Picard's trying to order the ship to stop, and Barclay's like, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now.
Yeah.
And they end up meeting up with a race of explorers who don't leave their planet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's what the whole thing was. Like, they bring people to them.
Yeah, they bring people to them. That probe is meant to give direction
to
other species. I don't know. It's just a really great episode because I like all the Lieutenant Barkley episodes.
Yeah, anything with Barkley, he's really good because that actor is great. I have a Barkley action figure.
And there's a quote from it. I wish I could convey to you what it's like for me now, what I've become. I can conceive almost infinite possibilities and can fully explore each of them in a nanosecond. I perceive the universe as a single equation, and it is so simple. I understand everything.
Data's like, welcome to my world, bitch.
Right.
My next is Cause and Effect, which is also a scary episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where they... The episode starts out with like the Enterprise,
the Enterprise
starts out with Captain Picard going, "All hands aboard the ship, all hands," and then the Enterprise explodes. Oh my god,
that one's so fucking good!
It explodes.
I didn't do that one because I knew you would.
And then it plays the opening credits, and then they're all just sitting there playing poker, like weird.
Yep.
And fucking. Dr. Crusher's like got a weird feelings, and then she's going about her day, and she goes to bed and hears a bunch of whispering. And that's the scary part, really, is the whispering. It's the first time you hear it, it's like ASMR whispering in the middle of the night. I'm like, ooh, this is a scary episode. I'm in. And then, carries on, shit goes on, they discover a weird anomaly, and then an old Miranda-class ship comes through the anomaly and crashes into them and blows up the ship. All hands abandon ship! And then the next scene is them playing poker at the beginning again. But now Crusher is like, I know what card you're going to pull. And this happens a couple times throughout the episode where they just relive the loop, and they slowly start to like have more and more like precognition of what's happening and start to remember things, and then eventually they're able to send a message back in time to the next loop and get away with it. And then they find the Miranda class, and Captain Frazier is saved. Captain Frazier is manning the Miranda class ship.
Yeah. Yes, he is. God damn it. Forgot about that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I love that episode. I love the scarier episodes. I like the mystery episodes. Sure.
I like the ones that deal with timey wimey wibbly wobbly stuff.
Agree.
Those are some of my favorites.
Yep.
So my next is Relics.
Okay.
The Enterprise runs into a Dyson sphere.
Yes. I didn't write this one down because I also knew you would. I was already at 16.
A Dyson sphere is a what do you call that? A theoretical man-made object.
It's a sphere built around a star at Earth distance.
Yes, that at a habitable zone distance.
Yeah.
That can basically use the sun as its infinite source of energy.
Yeah,
it's an unrealistic theory because. Mathematicians have done the math, and I love Freeman Dyson. He's a fantastic. He passed away recently. Yeah. They've done the math and figured out that in order to do that, you would need more material than most solar systems have in them to create such an object.
A ring world would be way more realistic.
A ring world, which was theorized. I'm pretty sure that was a Larry Niven idea. I don't know that he got that from anywhere. I think that was him. Yeah. You know, a sci-fi writer came up with
that. It's a great book. It's a great series of books.
Larry Niven's a great author. There's a distress signal from a Federation. It's not really a shuttlecraft. It's kind of like a transport, like a personnel transport, I guess. On the surface of it. So they go and investigate and find this thing crash landed on the surface of this gigantic Dyson sphere.
Yeah.
And decide to go, well, there looks like there's an atmosphere on it. So they beam down to it. And Geordi discovers that the transporter is still active.
Yeah.
And there's something in the transport. There's a person, place, or thing inside the transporter still.
Yeah.
So he decides to get it out.
Yeah.
And beams out what was in the transporter. And it's Montgomery Scott.
Yeah. Scotty.
Captain Scott at this point.
You know what my favorite thing about that is?
Hmm.
When they activate the transporter,
it's the old sounds. It's the sound and effect look.
The sound and special effects from the original series. Yes.
I know. It's fucking beautiful.
Made me so happy.
It's the little things.
Yeah, you know? It really is. Speaking of little things, just a mild fucking Star Trek tangent. I've been watching through Enterprise, and I love that they use the original Starfleet logo instead of the current Delta.
Yeah.
Because Starfleet, from the movies through Next Gen, through everything after that, just uses the Delta icon on their chest for the Starfleet logo. The one everybody knows. The Star Trek logo everybody knows. Mm-hmm. The original series, that was just the ship people's logo. Starfleet itself had a flatter sideways turned Delta. Huh. So it looked like just like a sideways boomerang that was like a little more opened up and spread out. And that was the Starfleet logo in the original series. And they used that version of the logo for Starfleet Command in Enterprise. Mm. And it makes me so fucking happy.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So they beam him down, and he's been in there for 80 years. Goes back to the Enterprise and is like super excited about fucking, you know, seeing today's Enterprise.
Yeah.
And wants to fucking jump into engineering and help out. And he just,
he's in the way.
See, I wrote down, but clashes heads with LaForge, who's a total dick.
Yeah, LaForge is kind of being a prick about it.
He is. Like, it's like a super prick. Like, dude, don't you have more respect for the guy who wrote half the fucking shit, you know?
Shouldn't you be, like, impressed by this guy?
Right.
Shouldn't you be like, holy shit.
No, he's just being a cunt about it because he's not a fucking chick that he can bang on the holodeck.
Because
he's LaForge and he's a bitch.
I listened to this Star Trek podcast that has a theory that LaForge is a mechanophile and just wants to bang the ship itself.
Oh, yeah, you brought that up before.
Which makes perfect sense, which is why his only friend is Data, which is why all the girls he dates are holodecks, who are just disembodied disambiguations of the starship itself. He just wants to fuck the Enterprise.
Yeah, I know.
And he doesn't like Scotty, because Scotty's getting all fresh with his girl.
Okay. All
right. Right?
I guess.
Like, Scotty, get your hands off my woman's manifolds.
Don't touch her dilithium crystals.
That's right.
So then it's mostly the rest of the episode is, middle part of the episode is Scotty kind of fucking meandering around the Enterprise all depressed because he's got no fucking place.
Just kind of irritating people.
Feels useless. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's super annoyed at him. Just he's being just real
telling stories.
Shitty. It's like he's a fucking 3-year-old.
Yeah. The best part about it is all of the stories he's telling are old episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The fucking, when he's talking about the room size and the one fucking,
The ambassador from whatever planet.
She gets all pissed off.
Yeah.
So he ends up going and looking for he's in 10 forward.
Yeah.
And he's drinks some synthahol and is like, this is fucking garbage.
Yeah.
And Data busts out from Guinan's personal stash some real whiskey, Aldebaran whiskey. And Scotty asks Data, what is it? And so it pours a green concoction into a glass.
Yeah.
And Data looks at it and sniffs it. It is green. And hands it to him. And he's like, all right, bottoms up, I guess.
That's a reference as well to original series. Fucking Scotty does that to somebody where they can't figure out what it is. And he's like, it is green.
Yep. And then he's informed that he can access the holodeck and see his old ship.
Yep.
So he goes to the holodeck and he's drunk and he tells the computer, show me my old ship. Computer is like, I need more specific information. Yeah. He's like, Enterprise, no bloody A, no bloody B, C or D.
Yeah.
And then they put him on. He's on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Can you believe they spent all the time and effort and money to build that set for that?
I'm pretty sure they still had that shit. No.
They just
rebuilt all of it?
Yeah.
Wow.
They just rebuilt it.
That's crazy for a 5-minute scene.
Yeah.
Huh.
They might have used some fan shit, but a lot of it was just reconstructed. Because none of them are old Star Trek. Dude, 60 shows, they just destroyed that shit when they were done.
All right.
So every time you've seen the Star Trek bridge since then has been a repro.
So he's sitting there and Picard walks in and starts talking to him. And, you know, Picard is the only person on board who's not an asshole.
Yeah.
Apparently. Picard and Data.
Yeah.
And Scotty has a line. There comes a time when a man finds he can't fall in love again. He knows it's time to stop. I don't belong on your ship. I belong on this one. This was my home. This is where I had a purpose.
Yep.
And Picard kind of goes and is like, well, you still have a purpose around here. And he ends up sending him on a mission to the back to the ship that crash landed on the Dyson Sphere.
Yeah.
With LaForge.
Yeah.
To try to recover their computer systems and figure out what happened. Maybe they get more information on the Dyson Sphere. This, that, and the other thing. And while they're down there, the Enterprise gets sucked into it. Into the Dyson Sphere with tractor beams and is about to be trapped. And the door closes behind them because it's a big fucking hatch that opens up and lets ships through and then closes back up. Which doesn't really make a lot of sense why you do that. Like, why wouldn't you just leave it open?
Yeah.
I don't really get that part.
To trap them.
No, I mean, like, in the design of the thing.
To trap them.
To trap what?
Whoever they're trying to trap.
It's not a trap, dude.
The Dyson Sphere is a totally trap. That's why it trapped them.
It's not a trap.
Then why are they trapped in it?
Because they can't, they don't know how to access it.
Yeah,
because it's nobody who ran it is alive anymore.
So how do you know it wasn't designed to trap starships?
Because it's not.
It's a giant salvage station designed to lure in and trap starships and then tear them apart for their base components. That was
a different episode of a different series.
Oh.
Anyway, so LaForge and Scotty have to figure out how to fucking get them back out.
Yeah.
And Scotty comes up, hatches a plan. LaForge is like, that'll never work. You can't do that with these things. And Scotty's like, ah, but I wrote those parameters. Yeah. So I know these parts can handle it.
Yeah.
And then they save everybody. And
I like the part where he's shocked that LaForge tells Picard the actual time repairs will take.
Yes.
Like, you can't tell him the truth.
He's like, how are they going to think you're a miracle worker?
Love that.
It's pretty great.
My next episode is Tapestry.
Ooh, I have that one. I have two episodes before Tapestry.
Oh, well, go ahead if you want to do your two episodes before Tapestry. The
next one is Parallels.
Parallels?
Parallels.
Parallels.
Worf.
That's season 7, buddy. Tapestry is season 6.
That's it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
So we'll talk about Tapestry because you don't know how time works.
Oh, fuck it. Whatever.
Tapestry, Picard dies. The episode starts with Picard dying on the operating table.
Yep.
Like I said, Crusher's bad at her job. So Picard's just dying away. And then Q is like, you're dead. And he's, you know, a few minutes ago, you died under the...
Hold on. I have a quote. I have this quote.
Okay.
Welcome to the afterlife, Jean-Luc. You're dead.
Yeah.
And Picard... Q says, Picard goes, what's going on, Q? I told you, you're dead. This is the afterlife, and I'm God.
I'm
God. You are not God. Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you
blasphemy.
Out or smite you or something.
That's great.
And then Picard's response is, I refuse to believe that the afterlife is run by you. The universe is not so badly designed.
Blasphemy.
You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something.
So it's basically like It's a Wonderful Life for Picard, where like Picard's like, oh man, I wish I had made different. So Picard dies because it was established in an earlier episode that Picard had been stabbed through the heart by a Nausicaan.
Yep.
When he was in Starfleet.
After a game Academy. Of Dom Jot.
Yeah. Like all of that shit was like he told Wesley about in a shuttlecraft ride him and Wesley were on in like 3 seasons ago. So it's cool how much they brought back for this episode. But then
when he finally bonded with Wesley.
Yeah.
Because before he's like, you're fucking dumb kid. Get away from me, idiot.
He was right.
Yes, he was.
So anyway, Picard has a fake heart because his heart got pierced by a Nausicaan who's like a bigger, meaner Klingon, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So Q is like, well, I'll send you back to your academy days so you can change things. So maybe you won't die here and you won't have this. And so the whole episode is, you know, 50-year-old Jean-Luc Picard, but like in the body of 19-year-old Picard, fresh out of the academy, banging like fucking 17-year-old actresses. And
yes.
And apparently Picard was a scamp as a youth, starting bar fights and cheating at pool and hitting on fucking elderly barmaids.
Kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. And so he spends this whole episode basically trying to undo the fight with the Nausicaans, and all of his friends end up hating him by the end of the episode, and he ruins his friendship with this chick that he never banged before, and now he banged her and ruined everything. And then his best friend is like, wow, you're a real piece of shit not letting me fight these guys. And then Picard doesn't get his heart pierced, and he beams back to modern times, and now he's like fucking lieutenant junior grade in sciences.
Yes.
And he's miserable.
Yep.
Because he's got a menial fucking job.
Yeah.
But still has memories and thoughts of,
still has all of his original life memories, and he's like, nope, 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 nope.
Not gonna do it.
My favorite part in the episode, though, is when he's in Starfleet Academy, he's like sitting there talking to his friends, and Q knocks on the door and comes in as a bellhop. He's like, flowers for a Mr. John Luck Pickard?
It's pretty good.
Basically, just watch all the Q episodes.
Yeah.
Except for the one where he tries to give Riker powers, and it's just a bad episode.
Yeah, that one's not good. Deja Q's good.
Watch all the other Q episodes.
True Q.
John Luck Pickard, because John DeLancey is a fucking treat.
True Q. Oh, the fucking Robin Hood one's good, too.
Yes.
That's another Q episode.
Yeah. So, long story short, Q ends up teaching Picard the lesson that, like, even his mistakes make him who he is, and then he saves him at the end because Beverly Crusher couldn't. So yes. Q brings him back to life as, you know, as old Picard.
Yeah.
Puts everything back right. Tapestry's great.
It is a good episode. It's one of the best ones.
I've got another season 6 episode if all your episodes are season 7 from
it
now on.
It must be.
My other season 6 episode is Starship Mine.
That's the one with the saddle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Starship Mine is just literally just Die Hard, except for on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
So they come up with this great excuse, like they're doing this basically detox screening of the entire Enterprise. It's a baryon sweep to get rid of baryon particles.
Made up thing.
Yeah. They just need an excuse to get everybody off the Enterprise. Yes. So there's a beam that's going through the Enterprise that'll kill any organic matter on the Enterprise.
It's also the episode where Data installs a Smalltalk program into his personality.
Shit is so fucking him and his Data's fucking mannerisms trying to learn small talk is some of the funniest shit.
Oh fuck,
on
it's
the
so
show.
Good.
but Picard finds out that there's horses on this planet that they're visiting while they're getting their ship degaussed. And he's like, I gotta go back to the ship and get my saddle before the baryon sweeps. So he gets on the ship and
Can't you just use a saddle here?
No, because a saddle is a very important thing. Every serious rider has his own saddle.
Yep.
So he goes back to his ship to get his saddle, and there's like some Tuvok and some other people on the ship who don't belong there. He's like, huh, this is weird. Why aren't you off the ship yet for the baryon sweep? Like, why aren't you? And then it turns out they're terrorists trying to steal deadly trilithium residue to make bombs.
Yeah.
And the whole episode is literally just, it's just Die Hard. It's just Picard crawling through fucking vents and knocking people into the baryon sweep to kill them and fighting terrorists. And it's fucking great. It's a great episode.
It is a great episode.
Meanwhile, down on the ground, Data's learning small talk, and then some other terrorist shit happens down there, but it's not nearly as interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, have at it.
Parallels.
Yes.
God damn it. Why does this always go down to the bottom?
Don't know.
Notes program, stupid. Worf encounters a time distortion while returning from a Batleth tournament on Forcus 3.
Yeah.
The conditions were difficult. Several contestants were maimed, but he was triumphant. He won champion standing.
Yeah. Or did he?
So he gets back to the Enterprise, keeps misremembering things. He's like, you know, it's just kind of small things. Like, first he walks in and he's talking to...
I also have this one written down because it's another one I consider a horror episode.
He's talking to Troy and, you know, he's... he's talking to Riker. He goes in with Riker, doesn't
yeah.
he? And he's like, nobody's going to throw a surprise party. Riker's like, I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even think I'd do something like that to you?
Yeah.
And, then, you know, they end up throwing him a surprise party.
Right.
There's like a painting that Data makes him that is just fucking some weird interpretation of some battle.
Sometimes it's that, and then like later on in the episode, it's a Klingon battle cruiser.
And then it changes positions.
Yeah.
Anyway, he keeps noticing things changing around him.
Like his cake changes from chocolate to white.
And nobody else is noticing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck is going on? And it gets worse and worse, and to the point where he can't perform his duties because he's at tactical and doesn't recognize the panel layout.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can't put shields up to protect the ship.
Right.
And it ends up getting Geordi LaForge killed.
Yeah.
And they come to realize that he's actually shifting through time, because he's like, this is not how these things are happening.
And yeah.
They're kind of like, first they're like, yeah, you're fucking crazy, dude. You need to just take some time off.
Yeah.
And then they realize every time he's around LaForge, something with the visor fucking shifts him into an alternate universe.
Yep. It's basically Sliders, but Mr. Worf.
Okay. So they figure this out, and they're like, well, we better go back to the path that his shuttlecraft came on, because something happened on the way back to the Enterprise.
There are like two people who would get a Sliders reference in 2020.
I don't know if that's not necessarily true.
You think there's people who remember Sliders who aren't dead?
Yeah.
All right.
Sliders isn't that old. I mean, it's old, nobody but it's not watched that old. It. Yeah, there's some people that liked it. I was not a huge fan. It was fine.
Head
episodes.
Jerry O'Connell, is that his name? Yeah.
Anyway, they go back and find this time rift that he had went through, and put like a pulse through it, and then all of a sudden all these Enterprises start popping out of nowhere into their space, and like they're coming in at such a rapid rate that Data says if this rate of Enterprises popping up keeps fucking going at this, going this way, in 3 days, this entire sector will be filled with Enterprises. There's a point where, you know, they're just like, all of a sudden they get all these hails, and Wesley says, Captain, we're receiving 285,000 hails. So they figure out he doesn't belong in the universe. His DNA or whatever, something about him doesn't match. Up. And they're like, hey, we need somebody. We need the universe that matches these parameters to send us your shuttlecraft. And they do. And then they show the timeline he ends up in, the final one. Picard had died. Like, he didn't.
Yeah.
He'd gotten assimilated by the Borg. They didn't save him. So it's Riker's captain.
Yeah.
And he gets to, there's like this scene where there's this part where they hail and they're talking to the captain of the show we're watching.
Yeah.
And it's got Picard as the captain, and Riker's all like excited to see him.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, like, that was just a small thing, but I'm like, that's kind of actually, that's pretty cool.
That's the series I was talking about that I would like to watch.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Fucking Riker becomes captain.
And then there's another one where the Borg just basically fucking wipe out most of
Riker's
the universe.
Disheveled. He looks like a homeless madman.
Ships all sparking in the background. Yeah. And they ended up trying to attack the shuttlecraft and blow up themselves.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a fucking really good episode.
All right. My next one is called Phantasms, where Data has nightmares.
Yeah,
there's just little... Look, it's not a great episode, but I like the scary episodes. And Data's having nightmares, and he stabs... He's like, there's a fucking whole horror movie scene where Troy's walking down the hallway and keeps looking behind her, not seeing... And then Data comes out of nowhere with a knife and just starts stabbing her like a fucking Michael Myers. Anyway, there's... Data's like having nightmares and then hallucinating weird shit. Like, there's a straw coming out of Riker's head, and,
and
he keeps eating... keeps eating a cake made out of Deanna Troi. It's a cellular peptide cake with mint frosting.
It's a weird episode.
Love it.
It's so weird.
Anyway, there's these little fucking pan-dimensional beings that are like little buggins that are on everybody's fucking faces and necks. And and Data can see them, but not really. So he sees them as hallucinations and tries to kill them. And then they figure it out and save the day. Yeah. But I just like the weird episodes where it's scary.
Yeah, that's fair. There's too many episodes where like... It's like we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, where Deanna Troi is like
the victim.
gets mind raped
constantly.
Yeah.
The one where she just literally was force impregnated by an alien baby.
Maybe if her brain didn't wear such slutty clothes. Sorry.
God damn. Her brain was really asking for it.
So I'm going to start this next episode off with a quote.
Okay.
Just a Captain Picard Day? Oh, yes. It's for the children. I'm a role model.
What is this episode called?
The Pegasus.
Okay. I have it. I don't have it as mine on my 10, but I have it written down in case you didn't, because we needed to talk about it.
Riker was served on a ship when he first got into, active duty.
Yeah.
Called the Pegasus.
Yeah.
And his commander of that ship, one of the commanding officers, who is now a Rear Admiral Pressman, shows up and is saying, "Hey, I have orders from Starfleet Command. We have to find this ship."
Yeah.
And we believe it's somewhere around here. Well, he's kind of leaving Picard in the dark about it, but he briefs Riker on it because Riker has knowledge of the ship.
Right.
He served on it. Anyway, they discover where the ship is. It's like phased halfway inside of an asteroid.
It's so fucking cool.
It really is cool.
Such a good episode.
And the whole time he's given these orders that are...
So for context, when the Federation kind of signed peace treaties with the Klingons and the Romulans,
mm-hmm.
and as part of those treaties, they agreed to never develop their own cloaking technology.
Yep.
So technically, it's illegal for any Federation ship to have a cloaking device.
Yes. And basically, Pressman's ordering the Enterprise to go do shit that's putting it in danger.
Yeah.
Picard's getting pissed off because he's like, "What the fuck?" And he's asking Riker, and Riker's not telling him what's going on.
Yeah.
So he's like, "All right, you know what? Fuck this shit. Like, I'm just going to fucking..." He's just fucking pissed and basically puts Riker in a position where he's like, "Well, you better make the right fucking decision or we're all going to die."
Yeah.
Because he's fucking making us do really stupid shit right now.
So this Pegasus is not just a cloak ship. It has what's called a phase cloak. So it not only goes invisible, but can also pass through other solid matter.
Yes.
Which is how it ended up inside an asteroid.
Yes. Correct. It ends with Riker fucking turning against Pressman.
Yeah.
It's revealed that Riker, defended his, commanding officer against a mutiny by the rest of the crew on the Pegasus.
Yeah.
Because they were like, "This dude's fucked," and Riker didn't know any better at the time, so he just stood by his commanding officer.
Yeah. That's a good episode.
It is a really good fucking episode, and there's, I don't have anything. I wrote down two. I don't remember the names of the episodes.
I've still got my last one of them. That's actually one of my 10.
Okay.
Lower Decks.
That's a good one.
Lower Decks is one of my favorite episodes as well because... So Lower Decks is almost all... Like, a lot of episodes of Next Gen, like, either start out or feature heavily, like, the main bridge crew playing poker together. Like, you know, and Troy and Worf and Data and Riker... And Crusher and LaForge, like some combination of them playing poker. This one is like four Lower Decks crewmen playing poker together. One of which appeared in an earlier episode where Wesley Crusher and his crew at Starfleet Academy did an illegal maneuver called the Starburst maneuver and got one of their classmates killed. And the Bajoran chick is actually one of those like Red Squadron people who got the kid killed, who ended up not getting kicked out of Starfleet Academy. And so anyway, it's just about these fucking four kids who are lower deckers, like fucking ensigns and shit, doing their jobs and like putting up with Riker being dickheads to them. And like there's a little like fucking boy Guinan who is like their bartender. It's basically like junior versions.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole episode is like fucking Picard is really shitting on this Bajoran chick who was involved in the thing at Starfleet Academy. Like, "Yeah, you fucked up. You shouldn't be on my ship. Blah, 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 blah." And he's just kind of testing her resolve because he has to ask her to do a really fucked up mission where she goes undercover into Cardassian. Cardassians and Bajorans are at war with each other. And anyway, It ends with her dying. It's sad. Yeah. Spoilers.
That was a good fucking episode.
It's such a good episode. But it's great to see, like, I love that outsider perspective of the main cast.
Yeah.
Like, particularly the one guy who keeps trying to ingratiate himself with fucking Riker.
And Riker's like, dude, get the fuck away.
Like, what are you doing? And he's like, can I buy you a drink? Oh, I hear you're from Canada. And he's like, I'm from Alaska. He's like, well, they're near each other. It's a good episode. That's my last of my list of favorites. I have one more I want to talk about, but it's not.
I have two more that are not like favorites. They're just episodes I think should be mentioned.
Sure.
Disaster.
Which is one is that?
Which is the one where Picard's on the turbo lift with the kids and then something happens to the ship. They hit some kind of filament.
Yeah.
And he breaks his ankle and he's got to try to fucking basically give the kids tasks.
Yeah.
Like, so the running theme with Captain Picard in this show is he hates children.
Yeah.
And they're stupid and he doesn't want to be near them because I don't know if he doesn't want to get Me Too'd or something. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's just because they're awful. I don't want to be around children. I get it.
Right.
I relate to Picard. We're both bald. We both hate children.
So he's they're on the turbo lift. He's giving them a tour basically like, yeah. Hey, you get to spend the day with Captain Picard and that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And big accident happens. He breaks his ankle. The turbo lift is stuck and is about to fucking fall.
Yeah.
Down a million fucking stories of Enterprise shaft.
Yes.
And he's got to basically convince the kids, like, build up the resolve, help him get out of there.
Gives them all pips off his collar. Yep. So they're all enlisted.
Yep. He gave one kid, made him like, fucking in charge of carrots.
Yeah.
Because he's like five.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good episode. And then you have another one that's...
Yeah, in season 7, there's an episode called Emergence,
mm-hmm.
where the Enterprise starts to develop sentience. And it's all plays out in a fucked up holodeck program where the Orient Express is trying to get to Vertiform City.
That one's fucking weird.
It's weird, and I fucking love the weird ones.
Yeah, so, you do.
So it's like Data and fucking Troy and Worf are on the Orient Express trying to figure out why the Enterprise is trying to get to Vertiform City. And the train conductor or whatever, the guy taking the tickets, is the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
There's a gangster. Anyway, the Enterprise is like building itself a life form. Like the computer somehow gained sentience and created this little life form, and they needed Verderon particles from a star. Anyway, we got to get to Vertiform City, and it's all fucking bizarre and like a bunch of mishmash of fucking holodeck programs that don't make any sense together trying to build this thing, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, two more episodes, actually.
All right.
So one of them is Ship in a Bottle.
Yes.
You're talking about weird episodes like that.
Yeah.
Ship in a Bottle is after that first, the Moriarty episode, they basically lock him in the fucking holodeck.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to go ahead and close out your program. Yeah. And
we'll figure it out later.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
Well, was it Barclay?
Yes.
Accidentally reopens the program.
Yeah.
And Moriarty walks out of the holodeck, which should be impossible.
Yeah.
And he ends up like taking over the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And controlling it. And the crew has to fucking trick him into thinking that he has control of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But he's actually on the holodeck. And they create a universe for him to just live out his...
It's that movie Inception, but in Star Trek and better.
I've never seen Inception.
It's the same thing where they're like inside of a dream, inside of a dream, inside of a dream.
Oh, okay.
So he never really walks out of the holodeck, spoilers. Yeah. He just tricks them and then makes up this MacGuffin of his wife that he needs them to get out of the holodeck so they can actually figure out how to get him out of the holodeck.
Right.
It's a whole thing.
It's a fucking good episode.
It's a good episode.
And then the other one is Conundrum.
Which one's Conundrum?
Conundrum's the one where the crew suffers memory loss and they all wake up and they're like, who the hell are we?
Oh, and then there's like the weird first officer that's never showed up before.
And yeah. Riker's banging Ro and Troy. Yeah, he's like...
Riker's getting it in all over the place.
Yeah, dude, he's sticking it everywhere you can fucking put it.
Good for Riker.
And what happened was an alien race decided to wipe their memory and trick them into fighting a war for them. You know, this, and they go and they find this big space station. And they're like, we got to attack it. That's the enemy. And they do a scan. They're like, that thing poses zero threat to us.
Yeah.
We're going to murder like 3 million people.
Yeah.
And they kind of go, oh, shit, what's going on here? And figure out that that guy's a trickster alien guy. Yeah. He's fucking misleading them.
Who can't build weapons, but they can build memory erasers.
Right.
We should probably also talk about the finale.
All Good Things?
All Good Things is a great episode.
It is a great episode.
It's another Q episode.
It's got the sweet fucking Enterprise with three nacelles.
Yeah. So basically, Picard discovers this fucking giant weird anomaly in space and then shifts through time and discovers it in basically in he's in season one, he's in season seven, and then he's like 20 years or in the future or whatever and discovering it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Q is like helping him switch through time to try to solve the mystery, and then he switches all the way back to like the fucking dawn of life on Earth and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And the fucking anomaly is like spread throughout the whole galaxy. And yeah, it's a really good finale that ties together a bunch of fucking themes, particularly with Q.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring back like fucking Farpoint uniforms for part of it, which is fun. They all have little red stripes back on their shoulders for parts of the episode.
Yeah, it was a good finale.
Yeah.
One of the better Star Trek finales, that's for sure. Cause
I mean, it's one of the two good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no finale for the original series.
No.
And
Enterprise was hot garbage.
Enterprise was fucking terrible.
The Enterprise finale might have been the worst fucking episode of Star Trek ever.
Yeah, probably. Well,
that's a tall order because Riker's in it.
It's the second worst episode.
What's the worst?
The one of Voyager where they become
all of Voyager.
Where they go to warp 10 and become the most advanced form of evolution, which is apparently a giant catfish that can breathe on land.
Yeah. Fuck.
And then
Voyager was stupid as shit.
Don't watch Voyager. It's a garbage show.
It is.
I don't understand why it has so many fans.
I don't either.
It's fucking actively bad.
Yes.
But that is our recap of Next Generation's key episodes and best episodes. And you should probably watch that show because that's just scratching the surface of how many great episodes there are. 7 seasons, 23 to 25 episodes a season. That's hundreds of good episodes of Star Trek sprinkled in with some really bad episodes of Star Trek, like the one, like the third episode of the first season where they go to Africa planet and it's
most
all
of the first season is just not great.
There's some
there's
gems
some, there's
in there,
some
though.
Good episodes
like
but
Datalore and Justice where all the women and men are just
I can
naked.
Totally understand why somebody would turn on season one of the Next Gen and go, this fucking show is stupid and I'm never watching it again.
Just skip episode 3.
But if you started at season 2 with like a recap of season 1, that would be
there's like 3 or 4 episodes of season 1 you should watch and then go into season 2.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah.
Season 1's bad.
But that's episode 200. Oh shit, we should see if we have emails. I didn't even think about emails.
Oh my god.
This is a jumbo episode. We're already at an hour and 43 minutes.
It's 250, dude. Special episode.
Yeah. I know.
I don't mean it's 2:50.
I know, you panicked me. I'm like, are all my clocks wrong? It says 1:21. I mean, I'm off today, so it's not a huge deal, but...
Oh, and why the fuck would you be panicked at all?
Just habit.
Okay.
Just habit.
Okay.
Just panic habit.
Gotcha.
Colin, don't worry about it.
Okay.
This is going to take a minute. This thing is really great, but it launches kind of slow.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, dude. It's like a 6-year-old tablet at this point.
God, have I had it that long? I
mean, no, but like that's when those came out.
It still works fucking great.
Yeah, I have the same exact one.
Yeah. I mostly just use it for Pathfinder and tabletop games because there's some great fucking tabletop apps on it.
Oh my god.
Colin, I am excited to get back into Pathfinder.
Fleer linked us a game that's on Steam.
Oh yeah?
The Flat Earth Simulator.
Oh my god. Read me the description.
Is the Earth a globe? Why do you think that? Does your everyday life confirm that? And it cuts out. That fact?
Yes.
Explore the alternative. the Flat Earth Simulator, an interactive simulation of the day and night cycle on a flat Earth with information waypoints all over the Terra plane. Goddamn.
Stunning. It literally doesn't work.
God, it's $5.
Why would you pay five? If it was free, I would download it in a heartbeat, but I'm not dumb enough to pay $5 for it.
It looked kind of nice, actually. It's pretty good.
Do they explain how the math doesn't work at all?
I mean, no.
Oh.
The Atmo plane.
We've got one email is on.
Oh, no. I see. The sun only...
It's a spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's typical flat earthedness. The sun's a spotlight. That's why, so for some reason, you can't see it when it's that way 30 miles or whatever it is.
That makes sense.
It's also only 30 miles up.
Okay.
This is from a couple weeks ago. Fleer wrote in, but we didn't record last week. Hey, fellas. Hope I wasn't too late for this week's recording. Though if I was, the statement won't really make sense when you read it next week. You weren't too late because we didn't record. Anyway, I'm smoking a bacon-wrapped turkey breast this weekend as a practice run for Thanksgiving. I don't have much to say, but I figured I'd email anyway. Here's a question for you guys. What is a food you swear people only pretend to like?
Hot sauce.
I like some hot sauce.
No, like the really hot sauce.
You know, my answer was exactly the same thing. Yeah. I was going to say ghost peppers.
Or okay, that too.
Nobody likes ghost peppers. No. Nobody likes peppers that fucking
Nobody likes
hot.
Fucking chemical burns.
Yeah. Because
that's what you get from those.
But people are like, oh, I'm so cool. I eat the world's hottest chip. Like,
I'm tough. Why don't you fucking learn to box and start boxing or something? Then
hey,
you'll be tough.
I've got a knife. Show me you're real tough. Let me stab you in the tongue, idiot. It tastes great.
Idiot.
It tastes great to get stabbed in the tongue, dum-dums.
Right.
Goddamn, there's no flavor.
I don't get it.
I drink bleach because I love the fucking chemical burn.
That's because Trump told me to.
I'm spitting all over the place over here. I hope I don't have the COVID because you're definitely getting it if I do.
You got a pop mic, pop screen.
It's just splashing all around it, man. Yeah, I'm just fucking spraying the room with fucking saliva right now.
That's fine.
I'm spreading coronavirus into your mouth.
Ew, gross.
That was my answer too. Was fucking spicy food people are lying about enjoying.
I like
cayenne pepper,
sure,
but it has a flavor, not just hot.
Right. Yeah, like Red Devil hot sauce, fucking delicious. The Chula garlic chili hot sauce,
ooh,
fucking wonderful. It's not really spicy at all. It's got very very mild heat.
We should go eat. Are you hungry? We'll talk after the show because I'm going to convince you that we should go eat.
Okay.
You got anything else? This is an hour.
No.
Welcome. This is our blowout 250th episode where we just.
Where are we at now?
An hour and 47 minutes.
Damn.
Where we just literally recap all of our favorite episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation. For more of this garbage, theloudneighbors.com, facebook.com/theloudneighbors. Email us your favorite episodes of Star Trek at theloudneighbors@outlook.com.
Oh my God, give us enough fucking episodes to talk about, so that's all we do next week.
Oh my God, I would love to talk about 20 more episodes of Star Trek.
Are we just going to become a Star Trek podcast?
Don't tempt me, Frodo. Thanks for listening.